Have you ever wanted to take control of your health and truly understand your body? Flow is the number one female health app, trusted by over 380 million people worldwide. Co-created with more than 120 leading health and medical experts, Flow is your go-to for tracking periods, ovulation, and even pregnancy. And now you can get 30% off Flow Premium for a whole year with the code LGU. With Flow, you'll unlock personalized insights, expert advice, and everything you need to feel empowered every day. Download Flow now, and don't forget to use the code LGU for your exclusive discount. Hello, dumplings. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha,
the sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, really silly, and sassy all at the same time.
We are totally silly, but come join us, grab your favorite drink, and welcome to Let's Get Ugly.
Katie Braden, PR. We are joined by you today.
Yes, I'm gracing the podcast.
I literally am so excited because obviously you are an amazing PR professional, but also someone very close to us.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting moment to talk about the events we've done together, the holidays we've shared. We've done a lot.
We've done it all.
You've been such a key part of Let's Get Ugly, but also Cool Creatives. And today we get to explore even more facets of your world.
Welcome, welcome.
I can't wait. I mean, all I could think about today actually was the cab ride we had in Monaco where we thought we were going to get kidnapped. And
you know, that it's so funny because I was just thinking of all of these times that are so like forgotten because we've had so many years and so many things. I'm like, where do I even start in terms of like picking things or moments? But yeah, the cab ride in Monaco was really quite something.
Just a sequence and her like asleep and just like swaying.
It was perfect.
So the first question I have for you is, what inspired you to take the leap and become a freelance PR?
There was really nothing inspired about it. It was very sink or swim. At the time, I was earning no money. And because of that, I had three jobs. So I had my office job where I was doing my PR. Then I was going to my bar job, which I would finish at like 1, 2 a.m. And then I had my weekend job where I used to work in a boutique on the weekends. And it was just a really low moment in my life where I thought, if I keep going on this trajectory, I don't know how I'm going to survive. So I was like, I have to make a change. And freelancing sort of fell into my lap. And I was like, this is it, baby, we got to go. So yeah, it was more of like a crazy stars aligned moment than an inspired, well thought out decision.
I needed money, basically.
I got to go. Yeah, something has to change. These super noodles, they're just not nutritious.
You've been a freelance PR for how long has it been now?
I've been in this game for almost a decade.
That is wild. I mean, traditionally, right, when we see PR teams, they're huge and success is defined by how many people you have working with you at that moment in time in terms of employees. How have you been a pioneer in shaping this new landscape?
The landscape is being carved out by societal, cultural, media hub, influencer changes. You know, the whole world is changing. And I think that freelancing and providing a more boutique service is a result of that. I mean, it used to be that, you know, agencies were measured by their success based on how big they were, and they still have a place. You know, there are still huge corporate brands that require an army of people to help them that a freelancer could never fulfill. But then there's also a ton of smaller founder-owned brands who need something different, and that's where I see myself fitting. And because I'm smaller, I have the ability to be really flexible, which in this day and age is a requirement. So yeah, I think there's space for everything. But for me, success is defined by, you know, how happy my clients are and how long I can keep those clients. When I was in agency, something that I noticed was a huge issue was the revolving door of new client. They would come in, sign a minimum, say, 6-month contract. And as soon as that was done, they were out because they weren't happy. And it was constantly trying to bring in new brands and constantly getting new business. Whereas for me, I just wanted to get great clients, keep them happy, and ride the momentum with them. And a lot of my clients, you guys included, have been with me for like the whole almost decade stretch. So to me, I'm successful. Maybe not to anybody else, but
to us, you
in
are.
My head, well, I'm living sure. it.
No, but I just think it's really interesting because obviously when you came onto the landscape and you became your own boss and you went into freelance PR, you were also one of the first freelancers to be like, hey, or PRs in general, to be like, influencers are a thing. And I wanted to ask you, because I think it's quite a good learning curve and the influencer landscape is huge now. How do you make influencers make sense with these different audiences? Can you give us an example of like how you would find an influencer that would get the right deliverables for a brand?
I'm going to give the most boring answer. They have to be authentic. And I'm seeing more and more, as there are more and more influencers, but also more and more talent agents, that there are more conversations happening where I'm reaching out to a talent agent to say, hey, can I gift this influencer to kind of like start the road to a relationship? And there's no interest in that. It's like, you can't gift unless there is a sponsored post or like offers of money. So then it becomes a case of we're seeing these sponsorships that are all paid for and they just feel really inauthentic, because even if the influencer does quite like that product or that brand, they haven't been using it. It's not like a staple part of what they talk about. So where possible, I try to either target people who are already talking about the brand. Like, it's a match made in heaven if an influencer posts something, tags the brand being like, hey, I really love this, and the relationship goes from there and you kind of maximize. I think that's really smart in terms of influencer marketing. But then if it is the case of the brand really wants to work with somebody and maybe they haven't tried the brand before, there has to be time. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to pick out products that they love and why they love them. And I think that their followers, that really resonates. I feel like we're all in a space now where we just swipe straight past those ads. So there has to be something more.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, aside from your role in influencer marketing, which is exciting, we've also done a lot together with Cole Creatives. What's been the most memorable? It could be event, it could be product launch, whatever you want, and why?
It has to be the time that we all went to Nottingham to do a free workshop with one of the inmates who was also a trans woman and had dealt with all sorts of issues. And the reason why she'd landed herself in that position in the first place was because of her battle with her trans identity. And just to see Trish work and how you communicated, and also how the education and secondary, really, the products really like made an actual world impact. It really made me realize we've got real power here. Like, as a PR, I have the option to maximize stuff that makes a difference or things that I really care about.
I actually wasn't expecting that.
Really?
Same. Yeah. I wasn't either.
Like, workshops are just so like second nature now, you know?
For those people who don't know, obviously you do workshops every week all over the world, different circumstances, online, in person, with all different types of people. So obviously for you, it's just like whatever, bread and butter. But that is actually the only workshop I have ever been to.
True. Oh.
And it was in a high security prison.
Yeah.
So it was like, of all the ones that I could have sat in on, maybe special is the wrong word, but it was a really special moment for us, but also for my career, I would say. It's definitely like a standout generally, truly like defining moment. I think it was defining because it really switched my perception of things. It was like a where you go, oh, and you sort of clock into gear.
Love that. Love that. Okay, let's move forward now. So PR is rapidly changing every day. Mm. There are new trends, new changes.
Yeah.
new strategies. TikTok, for example, was a big game changer. How do you see PR strategies changing in like the next 5 years?
This is going to be a really funny one for the viewers at home because we're recording this prior to TikTok potentially being banned.
Yes.
So this is a loaded question. I don't think anybody knows. And I have always, such a huge part of my sort of company philosophy is that I don't know what's going to happen. I know that having a, again, super corny thing to say, but a 360 approach where, you know, you touch social media, you touch broadcast, you touch things like podcasts, you touch digital media, you touch print, you touch TV, you touch radio, you know, you've got to like spread everything out and try and touch as many PR avenues as you possibly can because things really genuinely are changing every day. So I think the only thing that anyone can do who's working either in brand or as a PR or on social media, it's just to be flexible and nimble because with, for example, TikTok being banned in the US, that's a huge gap for something else to come through. You know, if we were having this conversation in a year, there might be a different set of social media apps entirely. We just don't know.
True.
For example, like there's just been a huge amount of people who have deactivated their X accounts, me being one of them. And now I'm trying out Blue Sky. A few weeks ago, I didn't even know what Blue Sky was. The strategy is think fast. And that's it. All we can do to survive. Yeah.
I love that.
Every day's a school day.
I mean, traditional press is something that's interesting and has changed a lot. And I would even say in the last year as well, there have been so many things that have happened. But how do you think that role is going to change even further within the PR landscape? Like, are people going to place the same amount of importance on it? Is it going to be more important again if TikTok goes? Like, how do we feel about that?
Again, it's such a tricky one because, I mean, at the start, very, very start of my career, I remember where I was doing my monthly reports where you collate all of the coverage and results that you've achieved to present to the client to be like, hey, we're doing our job. Like, that's sort of the role of those reports. And I wasn't allowed to include any coverage on that report that was not print or an official online title. So for example, like Cosmopolitan magazine and then like the online version of Cosmopolitan. So even like a solely digital site maybe wouldn't have made it onto that report. Influencers, absolutely not. They were they weren't even counted as coverage.
Wow.
It was like, yeah, okay, that's just like a fun side quest. Like they didn't mean anything. But I think everyone is starting to understand in media now that brands are being given a choice as to where they can spend their money. And it's not as cut and dry as, oh, I'll just continue to place the same ad in Vogue that we've had for 25 years. Some brands can do that and not bat an eye. A lot of people are thinking, right, okay, what is the best use of this spend? If you're in competition with maybe ad spend on something like a sponsored post as a media title, how are you also going to gain that revenue? So an example that of a media outlet who I think are doing it really well is obviously Sheerlux.
Yeah.
They're diversifying their content. They were really quick to do broadcast. They were really fast to get on YouTube. Now they're really quick to get on TikTok. Like they're doing TikTok live shopping events, which is really innovative for a media title to be doing that. I mean, there are some media titles who still don't have Instagram, and those are the guys I worry about. But yeah, just diversifying and trying things out and being really smart. And also for journalists, I think, you know, utilizing their power as influencers. I mean, once upon a time, you couldn't even put journalists and influencers in the same event.
No.
You would have to run two separate events. And if they were sat next to each other, like, God help you, there was going to be problems. So now to see like the hybrid of the journalist slash influencer is really interesting. And again, Sheerlux now has a talent management agency. So their journalists who are influencers, they're then managed internally. So it's keeping that revenue in-house. That's how I see it. I think it's going to be important, but everyone's going to shuffle.
I think that's an important thing to do, to be honest. What can creators do to help keep their business up? What are some tactics or advice that you can give them from your perspective? How do they get noticed?
The biggest piece of advice I would give for influencers who are already influencers and people who are aspiring content creators. So there's this method that hairdressers use to bleach people's hair safely. I'm going somewhere with this. And it's called Low and Slow. And I think that has to be the fundamental of every influencer's career. Because I think at the moment, especially with TikTok, everybody is seeking that viral moment.
Yes.
And everyone is seeking, like, I want to be the most famous influencer that ever was, and I want millions of views. But the harder and faster you go up, the harder and faster you come back down. So a lot of the time, the people who we can quote as, wow, they had this huge moment, they were so famous, where are they now? Whereas there are so many content creators who I love to follow who have this low and slow approach where they will be influencers and they'll be relevant for the next 20 years and they'll be earning money for 20 years as opposed to earning a ton and then never being able to earn ever again. So yeah, low and slow.
Really, really interesting with that. Kind of moving on to back to our relationship that we have, which is special. It is so special.
Yeah.
What's one thing that you think makes our dynamic work so well?
Fundamentally, we're just really kind and respectful of each other, which goes without saying, but also doesn't, because that doesn't exist in a lot of relationships. Our work and friendship is very mixed, but also incredibly separate. Over the last decade, like, it would be a lie to say that things haven't gone wrong or we've never had a disagreement or we've never butted heads about something. But I think everyone in the group has a mutual understanding of, like, it's never that serious. And instead of approaching a problem as, like, you've done this and I'm now going to berate you for it, it's always, what's going on? What can we do to help? We're always very supportive. I don't think we've ever, like, raised our voices at each other ever.
No, but I also think we're not in each other's faces every day.
No.
Which is a great
thing. We have space.
Separation is really important. And I think people do not get it.
No, I think if we saw each other every day, we might drive each other crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just somehow, it works, but honestly, it's very easy. Like, I feel like we don't have to think too much about it.
Yeah, true. Agreed.
That's true. That is true. We do have our own kind of trajectories and then have moments to share funny stories or things that happen.
Yeah.
And then talk about work, like, a few hours later. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Speaking of crazy, what's one thing about PR that drives you crazy?
The connotation with being a PR. Like, personally, I don't relate. I do actually cringe when I meet someone new and they're like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a PR. And I can feel the, like, the grating, like, not like that. Like, the only way I can describe it is if you're listening to, like, your favorite creators on a podcast, there's always a story about, oh, and then there was this PR person. And they're always, like, the annoyance of the story, which I get. And then there's also the connotation that we only ever do things because we want something in return, which sometimes, yes. But also, yeah, it's really hard to have genuine relationships with people in the industry where there's a mutual understanding and it's not, like, fluffy and fake. But I think PRs of winters past have maybe behaved badly and has given the whole industry kind of a bad reputation. So I try and make extra effort with new people I meet and also new clients to rewrite that connotation.
Fair enough.
I wish there was another word I could use, but I'm a PR and that's it. So there's no other way of saying it.
In terms of being a PR, obviously you also deal with crises all the time. What is one crisis situation that you can never forget and what did you learn from it?
Okay, so I'm going to have to turn my media training up to max to tell this story.
Oh, no. God.
There was an unnamed brand that I was working with, and they had a Halloween campaign where they were gifting children's Halloween costumes to VIPs. And this was before the time of the influencer. So it was, like, celebrities and TV talent, like, big time VIPs. And on Halloween, there was a story published because one of the costumes that was gifted to a really big TV personality at the time, who shall not be named, caught on fire. And the brand was named in every story that was going viral across national news because that was the costume that the kid was wearing when they got set alight. So the child was fine. That's really important to premise. The costume was not. But yeah, that was probably my first experience of actual like crisis management. And it was wild.
Yeah, that sounds wild.
I don't even think I know about that
story. I do know the story.
It's quite an iconic story.
I know this brand as well.
Yeah.
I remember us talking about it. Well, let's look at the future a little bit. What's next for you? Do you have anything exciting that you're working on?
There's nothing like big bang major, but I'm definitely moving more into consulting. I feel like a lot of brands need a lot of help designing strategy in this current economy and society where we are, like everything's moving so fast. I find myself doing that job organically for brands anyway. So my career is going in more of a consulting direction. And then I've just taken the most like ridiculously long hiatus from my own podcast where I just got this like irrational fear of being perceived. And I was just like, nope, we're not going to do that for a minute. So yeah, just getting that back on track.
Can't wait to hear more eps of yours.
I know. She's just chilling. Cool. She's chilling. But there's lots of back episodes for you to listen to, girl.
True. That's true.
I love it. A fun one. What is a holiday destination that we need to visit together and why? While we're looking to the future, because next year is a big year for some people.
Yes. Some people who shall not be named. Any country that would like to sell Call Creatives is the best holiday destination.
That is always true.
We love a work holiday moment.
We do. Especially an exotic destination.
Yes, that's what we want.
Yeah, with a large population, that would be great. But aside from that, probably like Disneyland, like good snacks, lots of steps.
I love that.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Sounds like a dream. Sounds like a dream. So we are going to hit you up with beauty questions. So this is one that we have for everyone. It's our quick fire beauty questions. There are three. Are you ready?
Super ready.
What's one beauty rule you love breaking?
Not needing a product for every individual step. For example, in my makeup bag, I have a brown pencil. I'm not even sure what it was meant to be, but I will do my eyebrows, my liner, my freckles, my liner and fill in my hairline with it. Because to me, it's a pencil, so I'm going to use it as such.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
If you could give your younger self one piece of beauty advice, what would it be?
Stop drawing your eyebrows like that. Stop. It's horrific. No one needs to see it.
What's a beauty moment, good or bad, that you'll never forget?
On yourself, though.
There was a beauty launch that I was working the event of for a color cosmetics brand. And we decided as a team that it would be smart of us to wear a product from the brand so that if someone asks like, oh, your eyeshadow is so stunning, where is it from? Oh, it's from the brand. You're in the launch. Stunning. PR. Greatness. But I don't know why I decided that for me, it was going to be green eyebrows.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't know why or what possessed me to do that, but everyone else was like a lipstick or a shadow or like a blush. And I was like, it's green eyebrows, baby. Like, I don't know why I did that, but it was a standout moment.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
I mean, pics of this one too.
Feels very Grinch. Feels very Grinch.
Wicked.
Or very wicked.
Oh, yeah. God. I mean, this was like 10 years ago, but maybe my manifestation skills are strong.
Yeah. Maybe.
Manifested too hard to fuck, literally.
Green eyebrows.
Love that. So before you officially head off, we are going to do an oracle card reading.
This is why I came.
What is in store for you for 2025? I'm feeling this one. Chosen family.
How funny.
And look who's on the card.
I know, I was going to say that's really funny.
Oh, it's that one.
I told you I was channeling a lot of energy into it.
I love it. I love it. So this one is about reconnecting with those who you love, aka spend more time with us. That's a reading. We just need more holidays next year.
We do.
For that.
That's always the vibe I feel for every year, more holidays.
But Katie, thank you for sharing your journey with us.
You're so welcome.
Breaking down all those helpful PR tips.
Yeah.
Your story is such a powerful reminder of how creativity and determination can redefine industries. At the end of the day, we are creating so many unforgettable memories along the way too. So thank you.
Thank you.
Have you ever wanted to take control of your health and truly understand your body? Flow is the number one female health app, trusted by over 380 million people worldwide. Co-created with more than 120 leading health and medical experts, Flow is your go-to for tracking periods, ovulation, and even pregnancy. And now you can get 30% off Flow Premium for a whole year with the code LGU. With Flow, you'll unlock personalized insights, expert advice, and everything you need to feel empowered every day. Download Flow now, and don't forget to use the code LGU for your exclusive discount.